Lord bless him. Lord bless him. Amen. All right, Job chapter number 14, if you're there, stand to your feet. We'll honor the Lord's word this morning. And Brother Ed, if you can give me just a bump of volume. I'm still having trouble with my throat. And Job chapter number 14, verse number 7. If you're there, say amen. The Bible says, "For there is hope of a tree. If it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. The Bible said, "For there is hope of a tree." And you could preach several different directions off of that phrase. Boy, ain't you glad there is hope in a tree. There's hope in a tree called the cross, the old rugged cross. What a blessed hope that is. But in the context of this scripture, that's not the tree that it's speaking of. Job has penned these words, and he's dealing with a subject that I want to look at this morning and preach on the thought, cut down but not cut off. Cut down but not cut off. I don't know about you, but since I've been a Christian, since September the 21st, 1991, when God reached down and saved me, I wish I could tell you that I have lived every day of my Christian life faithfully, righteously, holy, but that would not be the truth. I have failed the Lord more times than I want to admit to. And God had every right, every time that I failed Him, to cut me off and to cast me aside and leave me alone and wash His hands of me and say, "I've had enough after all I've done for you." After I grew a tree and let that sapling produce and grow into its fullness, let that tree be chopped down and fashioned in the form of a cross, and then let sinful man nail my son, my perfect, pure son, to a tree. And the Bible said, "Cursed is a man that hangeth upon a tree." But God, after doing all of that, letting Jesus be hung upon a tree for my sin and for yours, He would have every right to throw me and you in hell forever. God would have been holy, and God would have been just in doing so. A lot of times people say that God is not fair, and God is not don't deal with us fairly. Can I say to you this morning, and I know you know this, but can I remind us all this morning, God, you better thank God that He don't deal with us in justice. If we got what we deserved, if God just meted out His justice to us, without grace and apart from grace, we would we would not be sitting in church this morning. Listen to me, even if we hadn't landed in hell yet, but for the grace of God, as they sang about a moment ago, I know how I made it. I made it by grace. It's only the mercy and grace of God that we are in the house of God this morning, that we are here with a King James Bible in our hand or in our lap, gathered together with the people of God in the house of God on the Lord's day. I mean, it could have very well been apart from the grace of God, that you would have been out last night in some bar, and you'd have been out somewhere last night at a party and corralling and living in sin. But thanks be unto the Lord for His marvelous grace, where He reached down and interrupted your life and reached down and as Isaiah said, and lifted you up out of a horrible pit and set your feet upon a rock and established your goings and put a new song in your mouth. Listen, God's been good to us. God's been so, so very good to us. And so please don't ever throw a finger at God and make a railing accusation at God as though, no matter what happens in our life, don't ever point at God and tell God he hadn't been fair with you, that He hadn't been just with you, that He dealt with you in a wrong way. I promise you, if you ever feel that way and think that way, it's not a problem with God. It's a problem with you and with me when we would even dare think that, because God is so right and so just and so pure and so holy. He could not make a mistake if He wanted to. God's done right. And so any goodness, and that's what the word grace means, is God's unmerited favor toward us. We didn't merit anything to get the goodness of God. We didn't merit anything to get the blessings of God, and we sure didn't merit anything to receive the salvation of the Lord. Now, that's God's goodness. And so as I look back over my Christian life and I think about the times I've failed Him and the times that I've fallen short, and listen, we know that the Bible said, for all have sinned, and we've fallen short of the glory of God. We have. And that's talking about sinners, really, before being saved. We all fell short of the line, which is a perfection. None of us met that line. But I want everybody that's here this morning to think with me on purpose for a moment about the time since God saved you. And at your failures, and at your shortcomings, and at your worst. And then think about where you are today. And we'd all have to look toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that He, listen, we've been cut down, we've come short, but thank the Lord He didn't cut us off. He still hears our prayers. He still wakes us up with mercy that are brand new every morning. God has not cut us off. And so as I think on the times that I have been cut down and cut so low and that internally I felt in myself that God could never, ever use me again. And He would have been right in doing so, that He would never want to fellowship with me again, that He would never want to hear my prayers again. That's the mentality and that's the thinking that we get to, that God's finished with me. But I come to tell you this morning, God ain't finished with you. If you still have breath in your lungs, if you still have a beating heart in your chest, God ain't finished with you. And God sent me here this morning to remind you and to let us all know that, listen, though you may be cut down, as we'll deal with and look at this tree, you may have been cut down by your own doing and by your own making. But listen, God ain't cut you off. God's still interested in you. God's still for you. And God still has a work for you to do. And so let's look and see what the Bible has to say. This tree, the Bible said, was cut down. Job said, if it be cut down. This was not a tree that fell or was blew over by a storm or just a tree that lived an old life and ended up rotting and falling as we've all seen in the woods. And just couldn't no longer survive, so it finally tumbled over. No, the Bible said that someone cut this tree down. We don't know the reason, but it may have been disease. or an old ugly, and ugly to look at. And so somebody may have took a saw, and I'm not saying just because you're old, you're ugly. That ain't what I'm referring to at all. But this tree could have been diseased and had maybe branches on one side and just an ugly tree. And so for whatever reason, somebody took an axe or a saw and they chopped and cut this tree down. And so we don't know the reason it was cut down, but we do know that someone wanted it down and they followed through in doing so. Someone put a saw to the wood and someone cut the tree down to the ground. I'll say more about that in a minute. They thought they'd killed the tree. They thought they had done away with the tree. They removed it all the way to the earth. They thought they had permanently removed it. They thought it was gone forever. But I come to remind us this morning that if the root remains, there's still hope that that tree will grow again. And that's what Job is letting us know this morning in these verses. We do realize when this tree was cut down, Job was referencing here that we realize it was cut down, but the roots were strong. The following verses we'll get into in just a moment, but the Bible, the root thereof, the Bible said, waxed old in the earth, meaning it had a deep root system. It wasn't some flimsy tree. And though they cut it down because the roots were so deep in the earth and had been near water and was receiving sustenance, the Bible talks about, and through the penmanship of Job, that tree waxed old in the earth. It had been seen many winters. It had survived many dry summers. It had weathered no telling how many terrible and treacherous storms. The more hardship it experienced, the deeper the roots grew. The more it endured, it survived time and time again. The stronger and wider those roots began to grow, and now it has strength that cannot be seen. I'm going to say something that, again, I hope we're all listening to this morning. Listen, you may have been chopped down. You may have been cut down. But listen, it ain't what people see on the outside. It ain't what people say, well, he's fallen. He'll never get up again. He's done for. He's finished. His testimony is ruined. Ain't you glad that there's a God in heaven that don't see men as men see men? But there's a God in heaven who knows your root system because he's the one who put it there. There's a God in heaven who sees to it that the waters will flow and get to the parts of you that no man can see, and that is the root system that will sustain you. And so even though this tree fell and it was out of sight and to many out of mind, it was still alive and it still remained. It had a strength that could not be seen, and so do you. They removed what could be seen, but its strength was not in what could be seen. The strength was in what could not be seen. And boy, ain't that true. I'm going to talk about in just a moment about men in the Word of God who on the out appearance and who outwardly, when men saw them and their failures and they saw what they thought to be strength, and when it was stripping from them and when it was taken from them and by their own volition and will, they fail. And the Bible says, and great was the fall thereof. But ain't you glad that it ain't? Listen, your source of strength and my source of strength this morning ain't what men see. It ain't, we're not the stature of what men would say we are, but God looks on the heart. God knows your heart. And if God's for you, the Bible said, if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. And so you can watch people in your life, and you may can look back at your own life and see the setbacks and see where you were knocked down and may have been cut down to the ground as low as you'd ever been, and listened and watched as others celebrated your fall. It does not matter what the headlines read about you. We have a strength. We have a source that the world knows not of. How many of you heard of Jimmy Swaggart? I'm not for everything Jimmy Swaggart. Listen, I'm not here to endorse Jimmy Swaggart this morning, but I do believe Jimmy Swaggart's a saved man. I believe Jimmy Swaggart loves the Lord. I believe that. But you remember, all of you remember what the headlines, when it come out and it was a big scandal. I mean, the whole world heard. He was at the zenith and at the peak of his ministry. And he was on the TVs and, I mean, around the world. And then the newspapers come out. Headline, preacher falls. This preacher fell with a prostitute. And this preacher did this and that. And it was big news. And all the eyes of the world was looking at that man and applauding the fall of it and saying words like this: I knew he wasn't real. I knew he was in it for the money. I knew he wasn't as good as he said. Ain't it amazing how people will just love to see somebody fall? I mean, and when they do, they just can't wait to kick them and push them down further. God help us. God help us to take heed lest we fall. God help us not to be so arrogant and prideful to think that, listen, but listen, my point about Jimmy Swaggart was this. Listen, when that happened, not long after that, those big buildings and those big sanctuaries, I mean, it was just a whole road all the way down the street, building after building, where they built bigger and bigger and bigger. And just no time after that at all, when you rode by there, people would ride by there and the windows were boarded up and they would say, they still trying to have church in there, but they ain't but a handful of people. And that was true. Can I say to you this morning, he was chopped down. And I mean chopped down to the ground. But I believe with all my heart, deep down below the earth where no man could see, I believe that this man loved the Lord, but I believe he got caught up in sin like we're all capable of doing. And though he fell in front of the world, there was a root system. And God, though he was cut down, he was not cut off. And if you Google him this morning, or you go and investigate him this morning, his reach is wider and further and bigger than it's ever been prior to him being cut down. Because God ain't in the business of cutting people off. He's in the business of restoring people. And boy, I thank the Lord for that. He had a strength that the world didn't know anything about. And we have a strength that runs deeper than the surface. And though we may have been cut down or pushed over and seemingly removed, our strength runs deep and our strength remains true. Because our strength is not our own, but our strength is from the Lord. This tree was strong and these were old, seasoned roots that run deep. Have you ever seen an old oak tree that's been completely uprooted? I mean, just, I've been hunting some, and you go out in the woods and walking along and you see these towering mighty oaks and they stand and they weather whatever, and then you come upon one and sure enough, it's not just rotted and blew up, but it's come up by the roots and that whole thing will come up and some of them will stand taller than me. I mean, it's amazing how deep and how big that root system is that held that massive tree up. How many of you remember in Pigeon Ford several years ago, that wasn't tornadoes, but it was called straight winds, and they come through, and you'd look at the mountainsides, and it would just look like, I mean, like a tornado come through there, and it was just tree toppled after tree after tree, and it knocked them over by the roots. I mean, from the ground and beneath the ground up, just a trail and a track of devastation. Here's what we need to understand. When the roots are gone and the roots come up, it's then and only then that tree's finished. But as long as there's a root in the ground that's attached to that tree, there's still a shot for you to live and to flourish. But when the roots are separated and detached from the ground, it's over. A tree can survive being cut, but it cannot survive losing its roots. And our strength as Christians, as believers, though it's deep and it's great, the secret to our survival must be that we keep our roots attached and that we take care of our root system. And what is our root system? Is that we stay anchored in Christ and Christ alone. You say, but I'm saved. I couldn't get detached from the Lord. You're right about that. When it comes to salvation, you're going to make it to heaven. If you're saved, there ain't nothing that could ever sever that tie. That if you're saved, there's nothing that could ever remove you and detach you from the you being rooted in Christ. That's dealing with our salvation. But when it comes to our sanctification and our fellowship with the Lord, you can get away from your roots and you can get away from your attachment and your loyalty and your devotion and your closeness with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you lose and sever that relationship and sever that fellowship, you will fall. And it can ultimately lead to your demise and destruction. The tree was strong, but now it's gone. And here's something the tree must learn. And we're at the top of the street. Number one, the tree must learn, listen to me, to live again. I ain't preaching you this morning something I read in a book. I've lived this, and I've been chopped down. I mean, to the ground. I've been so embarrassed and so ashamed by sin. I've drug the name of God through the mud, and I've been marked off and cast aside. And so what I'm preaching this morning is something that's not foreign to me, but I know it to be true. I know that you can fall. I know that you can be cut down. But I also know that if you're attached to the Lord, He will not leave you alone, and He will not cast you aside, and He will come to you. And listen, like Samson, how big his hair begin to grow again, and God will raise you up again, and God will begin to allow things to sprout again in your life, and you will live and thrive again as a believer. But you got to learn to live again, because when that fall comes, you feel like your life is over and you've lost everything, and there's no way you could ever restore and rebuild. The old branch that used to hold the swing, now it's gone. The branch is never coming back. The old trunk that you had your initials and hers carved into with a heart in the middle, well, it's gone. Bless some of your heart. You've had to scratch out that bottom initial so many times you done went through 3 or 4 case knives. That's how your love life was. But even when the whole trunk of the tree is gone, it's gone for good. The trunk is not coming back. It's gone, never to return. But just because that part is over does not mean that there's no more life left in the stump. Just because limbs fall, just because leaves fall, just because the actual trunk itself comes crashing down in your life, there's still life in that stump. As long as you will not be satisfied with new life, you will never appreciate what God can do with what's left of you. Listen to me. If you just stay mad and bitter about what's happened and about what's gone, if you just stand and say, I used to be this and I used to be that, and this church used to be this and used to be that, and it's not what it used to be, and my life's not what it used to be, can I say to you this morning, there's going to be some things in your life that will fall, that will never come back again. I mean, only heaven will reunite you with some of your loved ones. Only heaven will fix some of the things that you have watched fall. But listen to me, don't get so focused on the past and what used to be that you fail to live in your present. You got to learn to live again. God still, listen, even if God took somebody out of your life, even if God, somebody that you loved and cared about it and had respect for, if you watch them fall, or if you've seen a church go bad and they are happening and preachers are falling by the wayside, don't get so focused on what could have been and what used to be that you don't live your, learn to live again, because God left you here for a reason. And He wants you to learn to live right where you are and get out of the past. Look what Job said. We must quit looking back at what's gone and will never be again, and let's learn to look at the new sprouts that are growing out of that old stump. Job said in verse 8, talking about the stock, he said, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stock thereof die in the ground. That stock is the stump. What Job is saying is, even if the stump dies all the way under the ground and looks like there's no life ever to come from that again, so even if the stock or the stump is dead and the roots are still there, there's still hope of what may be and what God may do and what God can do and what God will do if you will learn to live again. I think a lot of people miss out on some unbelievable blessings because you can't get over what's not going to happen. And by being so obsessed with what's not going to happen, you miss out on what God is doing currently. And if you'll just rejoice over what He's doing in your present, it'll be a whole lot easier to let go of the failures in your past. I heard this and thought it was worth repeating. A lot of people will miss out on a great church because they're too busy looking for a perfect church. I've had times in my life in churches where I felt it couldn't get any better. Now, I'm going to say this. God bless you. Listen to me. I ain't a church hopper. It really is one of my pet peeves for people to just skip around and hop from this place to that place and go for a while here and go for a while there. You need to get somewhere and anchor yourself. And I mean learn to just get somewhere and sit down and stay a while. You ain't never going to grow. You ain't never going to develop. Listen, if you're going from place to place to place, it takes time for a foundation to be set. It takes time for you to get ingrained and engrafted into a place and gain the respect and gain the trust and the confidence in a people. And so get somewhere. Listen, if you have to leave somewhere because God led you, that's one thing. If you have to leave somewhere because they've erred in doctrine and they've got away from the Word of God, that's one thing. I'm not talking about that. But just to hop up one day and say, I believe we're going to go over here. The grass is greener over there. That is not healthy for you. That is not healthy for your children. Get somewhere and stay and quit looking for the perfect when God's give you something that's great. I thought about the churches I've been members of. And I remember born and started church at Hammock Grove Baptist Church. And at the time, that's all I knew. It's the only church I knew. And so to me, it was great. And when I was in the eighth grade, I heard about a preacher, a fireball preacher at that. And there was people getting saved left and right. And I mean, God was moving right up the road at a place called Brown's Chapel Baptist Church. And some of my friends and my brothers, they said, let's go hear this preacher. I hear he's, And so we went. And sure enough, he was a fireball preacher. And sure enough, he was a God-anointed preacher. I mean, to the point that he opened the Word of God and God used him and that church to convict me of what I was, a sinner in need of a Savior. And I got born again at Brown's Chapel Baptist Church, and it was great. I bowed down in an altar at Brown's Chapel Baptist Church and surrendered to be a preacher of the gospel. It's great. Then things happened, and one thing led to another, and I ended up having to leave there over a doctrinal issue, over a Bible issue, and ended up going to Calvary Hill Baptist Church right down the road. And these parts of my life that still, I have no stones to throw. God blessed me. I thought it was great. I got fed by the Lord from the Word of God, and I learned how to witness to people that I never knew how to do. I learned a whole lot. God anchored some things in my heart about the Word of God and about doctrine, and it was great. And then God moved me from there to there, to Morningstar Baptist Church. And God did some great things. I got to sit under what I believe to be one of the wisest men that's ever walked in shoe leather, Andrew Kerrigan. He is my pastor, and I learned from him, and God helped me tremendously. God gave me my wife at that church. Matter of fact, that's why I came. That's right. Now that was wrong. If my daughter's listening, I mean, that was right. That was right. You always make the boy go to the girl. So all my children, well, you here. So Macy, if you're listening, they got to come here. You're not going there. God gave me my wife, and it was great. It was great. And then God led me from there, from right over there, to Georgia, to Hepzibah, Georgia. And there, it was one of the highlights of my life to date. God gave me my first church to pastor, and God showed me and allowed me to get into a place that was liberal as all get out. I mean, they didn't have a King James Bible in the building. They didn't know what a missionary was. I asked them, said, y'all support missionaries? Y'all know any missionaries? You know what they said? Oh, yeah. Well, we know Lottie Moon. I said, did you know she wasn't living? I guarantee you ain't met Lottie Moon. But the Lord called me there for the sole purpose of preaching the Word of God and preaching doctrine, and God turned that church around, and God made that church a Bible-believing, doctrinally sound, mission-minded church. And I mean, scores and scores of souls were saved, and it was a great place. Now, I wasn't looking to leave. I thought I'd be there forever. And then God led me back to Morningstar Baptist Church. And I said all that to say this, listen. Oh, I skipped one. Victory Baptist Church, when I moved to Georgia, Brother Larry Brown was my pastor. When I was in Bible college, and I was a member, we were a member there, and God used that place. Listen, it wasn't perfect, but neither was Hammock Grove. It wasn't perfect, but neither was Brown's Chapel. It wasn't perfect, but neither was Morningstar. Morningstar wasn't perfect, but neither was South Haven. Victory wasn't perfect. And now that I'm back at Morningstar, can I say to you, Morningstar ain't perfect. God knows we got our problems. But listen, I'm not spending my time looking for a perfect church, because I've been to enough of them. They ain't one. And if you ever find a perfect church, please do not go and ruin it. I said all that to say simply this. Those places were wonderful then. When I was there, they were wonderful. But this is not then. Now is not then. And if we're not careful, we will end up like those people who spend the rest of their life looking for a place just like the place that they dreamed of and a place that they experienced sometime in the past and miss the great church opportunity that you have right before you. God give you a good church. Listen, I ain't a perfect preacher. Lord knows. Brother Jackie ain't a perfect assistant pastor. Lord knows. You don't have a perfect Sunday school teacher. You don't have a perfect choir. This ain't a perfect church, but I'm going to tell you something. This is a good church. This is a great church. This is a Bible-believing, fundamental, old-fashioned, independent, Baptist, Christ-loving, mission-minded. I mean, listen, you ain't going to find the perfect one. So if God landed you here, if God led you here, then stay and try. And the thing and the problems that you see, instead of cussing it and then riding up the road to find one better, fix this one. Amen. Find a problem. Plug a hole. Get somewhere. Get involved. Serve. I mean, pray for it. Hey, listen, you say, I just don't like that preaching. I ain't getting fed. Then pray for me. Lord, have mercy. Pray for me. I'll be the first to tell you, I need all the prayer I can get. I'm saying you got to learn to live where you are. Stop grieving incessantly over what is not. And let's just put it in the past and thank God for when it was here and how God used it there. But I see some sprouts coming up here. I see some new life coming up here. I see God saving people here. I see God calling people here. I see God moving here. I see God expanding here. And so why would I look for it? Listen, I'm saying learn to live where you are and be thankful for it. Pray for it. Encourage it. Strengthen it. So a tree must learn to live again. The stump's dead and the tree's gone, but it still has the roots. And those roots can bring new hope, new sprouts, and those same roots can bring new boughs. I've got to hurry. I thought about, I ain't going to finish this, but I'm going to just give this last little part and then we'll undo for this morning. But I thought about people in the Bible who were cut down. People who were godly men. People who loved the Lord. People who were mighty men of faith. And for whatever reason, they got tied up in sin and they were cut down. But their story didn't end there. Listen, I thought about Adam and Eve and how they had a comeback as big as a comeback could be. Think about it. In the garden, they were cut down as low as possible. They were removed from the very, because of sin, they were removed from the very presence of God. I'd say that's cut down. Because of sin, they were kicked out of the perfect garden. They were removed from their home. They were removed from a life where they were veiled in the Shekinah glory of God. Their world was cut down, rocked and wrecked, and they were cut down from everything they'd ever known. But thank God they had come back when the Lord came walking up to them, and he had skin in his hand, and he said, "Do y'all want to come back?" And they said, "It ain't never going to be like it was. We ain't never going to get back in the garden, and we ain't never going to be able to walk with the Lord face to face. It ain't never going to be like it was." No, it ain't, because sin has consequences, and these things that happen in our life, and you may never get back to being how it was, but you can have a comeback. And God came to them and said, "I've got a blood sacrifice, and I'm going to fix this for you. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore fellowship with you." And God came to them and restored them And what a comeback it was. That was just Adam and Eve. What about, I thought about Moses. Moses had a comeback. Moses was cut down. He was a murderer. Remember, he became a murderer and was removed from his lavish home in Pharaoh's palace. But thank God for the comeback that he had when he walked up on that burning bush, the very presence of God. God had a word for him. And Moses began to see sprouts begin to bud again, and the roots, because his roots were deep, God gave Moses a comeback. Then what about Samson? Samson, that mighty man, that mighty strong man, as I read earlier, Judges 16:22, howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Samson used the strength God had given him to fight for the Lord. Samson took that strength and fought his own battles. Samson got in a mess. Samson was cut down low, and he was devastated and lost his hair, lost his sight, lost his strength, and was taken into captivity, marched through the town, made a mockery of, and was cut down. However, sprouts began to grow again, and they fought. They forgot. They said, we got him now. This man that's caused us all this trouble. This man that we've never been able to overcome. This man that we've sent thousands. He took the jawbone of a donkey and he killed them all. This man, this strong man, we've got him now. And we shaved his head and he's powerless. And we've cut him down to the ground. But you know what they forgot to do? They forgot to put a barber down there in his cell with him to keep him that way. And those hair follicles began, those roots began to sprout. And those roots began to grow. And that hair began to grow. And what God was saying to Samson was, I know you failed me. I know I allowed you to be cut down. And because your sin, you was cut down low. But you still have a root system. And I'm allowing it to grow again. And I'm going to strengthen you again. And I'm going to give you power again. And I'm going to allow you to do more in your death than you ever did in your life. I'd say that's a comeback. Then what about Peter? Peter had a comeback. David had a comeback. What about Thomas? Thomas had a comeback. Remember, we know him, and he's always referred to as Doubting Thomas. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know what I think would be a more fitting name? Denying Thomas. He didn't just doubt Jesus. He denied the resurrection. He said, I watched him kill him. And he denied that Jesus rose from the dead. And he was cut down low until about a week later when Jesus come walking in the door with nail-pierced hands and a riven side. And he said, Thomas, going to come back. And Thomas came back. I'm saying to you, learn how to live. I don't care how bad you've messed up. I don't care how low you've been cut down. If you're saved, you can come back. Tonight I'll say more about the rest of these verses. But I promise you, God wanted me to remind somebody this morning, beginning with me, your story ain't over. And I don't care how the devil convinces you and how much he tells you, you ain't finished. Learn to live in the grace of God. And your comeback story is in the process of being written. Let's stand. Father, in Jesus' name, take your word. Lord, help us. Help us all. Lord God, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, Lord, for the times I've been cut down to the ground. Oh, Lord. And you allowed me to have a comeback, Lord. You allowed me to live. God, you allowed me to serve. Lord, you allowed me to be used. And Lord, I'm so undeserving and so ashamed, God, but I thank you, Lord, for day by day you've allowed me to get over my past and learn to live in the presence you've given me. And oh God, for empowering me, God, to let the sprouts begin to bloom again. God, to see fruit and see the boughs, oh Lord, grow again. I pray you'd multiply it in our life, Lord, help us all. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need these altars, they're open.